President Fox of the University of Florida lives this out in his role, and he preached on this as president of the university. Strong in his faith, welcoming those who have different points of view. The following week, Reverend Aaron talked about the needing of strength and courage as a parent, as a husband, and in ordinary life. The following week, 2 weeks ago, the Bethune-Cookman University Chorale. Amazing. I talked to somebody out at the coffee hour between services. They said, oh my gosh, the services this month have been so amazing. I'm supposed to go away next weekend. I don't want to miss something that's going on here. It's kind of neat to hear. Then last Sunday, accessibility. Thanks again, Myra and Megan, for joining me and talking about the courage and strength God gives us in the midst of challenging situations and enabling us to prevail. Early on in this series, one of our members forwarded the theme that we were using this text to Joel Islam. Many of you know the Islam family, either directly or indirectly. You know their trucks around town. What's it called? Florida Food Service. Do y'all take food to restaurants around? Is that right? Florida Food Service. Jim, you've been doing that for how long? Here 50 years? Okay, yeah. And it wasn't too long ago. When were you honored by the Rotary Club for the service above self? 15 years. Wow. Time flies, doesn't it? Yeah. And but at any rate, and there's Jim and Marilyn's son, James, wrote to me. I didn't know the story, but he said this verse has a great deal of meaning to our family. Their son's name is Josh. Joshua. And so I said, let's meet. And we had this most powerful time as we met, and he shared with me the story. And there are magazines on the back of the picture of their son. And, well, I don't think I'll tell you anymore. I'll just let James come up and share with you the story. James, come up, would you? And Donna and your family, nice to have all of you here today. And we give thanks to God for you. And James, you've become a dear friend already. And I'm a good enough friend, you can call me Dan instead of Pastor. I feel awkward when people say, Pastor, let me pray with you. God, thank you for James and for bringing him here and for the testimony and the powerful word you're giving to us today. Bless James. Bless us all that we might hear the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, James. Would you welcome, give James of Trinity welcome.
Thank you guys so much for inviting and welcoming me and my family here. This has been an awesome morning, and I pray that this won't just be the number three, but that this message will be powerful and brand new for each one of you. Ever since my buddy Dan here invited me to speak, God has been filling my heart with a message to share with you, and I pray that you will hear it and receive it with as much power as what God has been speaking it to me.
The only thing I would add is these folks actually get up and leave at 12, so...
That's awesome. All right. So, I have you captive for 29 minutes. Is that what I'm to understand? All right. Well, this message actually has two titles. The title that God really put on my heart is Obedience, God's Key to Courage. And it is true that our courage comes from beyond ourselves, and I do believe that it comes from Almighty God. But the key to living out a courageous Christian life is obedience. Obedience to what God tells you personally, to what His commands are through the Scriptures. My wife, Donna, and I, we've been married for 27 years, and we've been blessed with 7 children. And it didn't take us very long to realize that we were no longer in control of our household. I think many of you can empathize with what I'm saying. And we have been through all of the normal things that parents go through, all the fevers, bumps and bruises and coughs, and praying through the night for our fevers to break. I stayed up all night when Donna was nursing, just encouraging her along. You can laugh. Really, as far as I remember, they all slept right through the night from the day they came home. Fortunately, my wife only requires about 45 to 50 minutes sleep a night, and she can do that with one eye open. And I'm not really kidding about that. I used to go running in the middle of the night, and I thought I'd sneak out quiet, run, not disturb anything. She'd be waiting when I got back. So we worked out a system. I had to make a clock like they have at some stores where they take a break for lunch. We'll return at. So she would know where I was. Anyway, we also have been through many extraordinary things with our kids. When our oldest son was in first grade, we used to live in Northwood, and my parents lived in Suburban Heights. And, you know, my son was getting bigger, and I said, we're going to ride our bikes to Nana and Baba's house. So we were riding, and we were about right in front of this church before the church was built. And I can remember Jarrett saying, Dad, this is the best day of my life. And it was awesome. We rode our bikes. For that age, it was a big adventure, riding all the way across town. We had a beautiful picnic, went swimming, and just had a blast. And we started off to ride home. And about in front of the library, we were crossing a side street. Jarrett was run over by a car that was pulling out of the neighborhood. Just a person wasn't looking. You know, my son stopped. He pulled out. He was run over and drug out on the Milhapa Road right in front of my eyes. I kind of freaked out. I started having tunnel vision. I jumped off my bike, started beating on the hood. She went to put it in reverse. I said, just stop. And I looked under, and I didn't know what I was going to find. He's screaming. And all I could think about as I looked down Milhapa Road, I got to get him out from under there. And a couple of other people stopped to help. And for some reason, I just squatted down in front of the bumper and started to lift up. And it felt like a feather. The people on either side of me just kind of backed away. Jarrett stopped crying. I walked it off him like a wheelbarrow. I dropped the car and went and knelt beside him. He said, Dad, you just picked up a car. Well, I did work out a lot more back then, but I wasn't just strong enough to throw cars around. But God was working in me. It's very traumatic, but he recovered from the injuries. It's very traumatic as parents to go through that. But God was growing us up. He wanted us to trust in Him regardless of what the situation looked like. We had another son in kindergarten. He had to have open heart surgery. And you can imagine, many of you as parents, what that's like to have any kind of major surgery. But he was born with a hole in his heart, and it wasn't healing on its own. It wouldn't, and it needed to be fixed. So it took us to another level of trust for, you know, and I prayed and I fasted that they were going to do a pre-op examination and find that his heart was miraculously cured. And in my mind, I was going to travel the world and tell everybody about, I prayed so hard and God gave me this miracle. But God chose to do his miracle to heal our son's heart through doctors and nurses and a whole staff. And God was introducing us to people in a very unique way. Several years later, our youngest son, at 2 years of age, was diagnosed with cancer. We had just taken a family vacation, and it was awesome. But just at the end of that trip, his eye just didn't look right to me. And we figured, all right, two-year-old, he bumped his head on something. We had Wii at the time, and so maybe somebody got a little excited with their backswing or something. But we went to the doctor, and our regular doctor wasn't in the office. So we walk into the office. He goes, "Pleased to meet you, I'm Doctor." And Donna and I looked at each other like, that's not good. He said, "I'm going to get you right over to specialist today." That's not good. We go to the specialist. He said, "Pleased to meet you, I'm Doctor." I said, that's not good. So through a whirlwind of diagnoses, we found out that he had a tumor behind his eye. Again, God was taking us to a whole new level of faith in him. During that time, I had been building houses as fast as a person could build houses and enjoying the boom of the construction business. Almost at the exact time we received the diagnosis of cancer, the historic housing collapse hit. And we were stretched to the absolute max. And God was speaking to us. God was building courage and a deeper faith in him that you can't get by shortcut. There are some journeys you just have to travel down that road more than going there, getting the t-shirt. You have to walk and cry. And I can't tell you how many nights that I woke up still on my knees from praying, falling asleep on my knees, praying for these struggles that we are going through. Donna would always say, it's during these times that our faith grows legs. And I would remind her that God has some doctors and nurses he wants us to meet, and that he was preparing us for future service. In my mind's eye, I could see a time when we would be able to mentor other couples, especially young couples, and testify to God's faithfulness, regardless of the circumstances. I can remember talking with God and praying and fasting for some kind of miracle. In fact, I said, God, I will go to a mission field anywhere in the world you want. And God said, you know what? You have a mission field in your living room. Don't miss that one. He's right. Don't miss that one right there. But the really important thing about that was something about the way that I heard that voice. Like I could really hear God. I realized at that time that I started off reading the Bible, praying, and now I was hearing God's voice on a regular basis. And I had heard people say, well, I heard God told me to do this, and God said this, and I always was skeptical. But no, now I could hear. I could tell the difference between my thoughts and God's thoughts. Mostly, when it's God's thoughts, it's a little bit more uncomfortable. It takes us out of our comfort zone. It stretches us. It grows us. On another occasion, I was spent the morning praying, reading the Bible, singing praise and worship to myself. And I said, God, I want you to use me to share the gospel. So we were getting ready to go on a trip, and I had to get a haircut before we went. I drive over to one-man barbershop, and as I pulled in, God told me, I want you to share the gospel with Jerry. I said, okay, God, I'm sure that you'll set it all up. In fact, he'll probably ask me hey, what do you think about Jesus? What do you think about eternal life? I was kind of counting on God to set it up, make it nice and neat and easy. So I go in, and Jerry talks about the weather a little bit, talks about sports a little bit, and I'm not finding a good segue here. But just when I was about to kind of blurt it out, this guy comes in as if he were parachuted in from some safari on the Amazon. He's got one of those round safari hats, a vest. He's speaking with us, you know, Australian accent. Really, like he literally came out of the bush and starts talking about all these exciting tales from his journeys. Well, I was kind of having a little argument by now with God. Like, I'm in the chair, it's my turn to talk, and this guy's telling all his stories. Well, I kind of started to panic a little bit. I got my hair done, paid, and left, and I just felt weird. Got out to my truck, and I said, what's up with that guy? I thought you were going to set it up for me. He said, go back in. I said, no, that'll be really weird. Tell you what, I'm going to go on my vacation. When I come back, I'm going to come back and be weird as I need to be, and I'm going to share the gospel better than I ever have with anyone. So we went. We had an awesome family vacation. Came back, and I took my son Josh. He was probably 4 or 5 years old at the time. Took him up to get his hair cut. And we pulled in the parking lot, and I noticed that it was kind of dark in the barbershop. I pulled right up to the front spot and looked at the door, and my heart sank because there was something taped to the front door. I got out and walked over. It was Jerry's obituary. That night, Jerry was driving home, flipped his truck, and was killed. We don't know. God told me, and I knew he told me, and I thought that I could do my plan B. Now, God also encouraged me, because it took a long time to grieve that, and it's still painful to talk about it. And God has the power. God told me, hey, I could have brought 2 busloads of awesome evangelists to come in and get their haircuts right after you left. Maybe he did. Maybe he heard the most awesome afternoon of gospel presentations. I don't know. That's not really the point. The point is, God told me to do something. I knew it. And I did what I thought was best. I was worried about it being awkward or weird. A few weeks ago, like Dan said, I got the email and God provoked me to reach out and offer to help in any way that we could. I heard that the theme for January was Joshua 1:9, and that verse is very, very special to our family. And I just said, hey, if there's any way that I can assist you, if we can share some dog tags with you, be happy to. We got to talking and decided that I would come and speak today. Thank you very much. It's been a blessing. So, I want to tell you about why Joshua 1:9 is so important to us. I wrote a note to our son Joshua the day he was born. Joshua, you have been named after God's servant who succeeded Moses and led his people into the promised land. Your birth is an answer to our prayers. God specifically created you to do his will. We pray that you will follow Joshua's example of obedience and courage. I gave him the verses, Joshua 1:7 and 8. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. When our son Josh graduated high school, he chose to go to the Marine Corps. And my wife was feeling a part of her was leaving. She asked God to give her a verse to share with him as he went off to boot camp. God gave her Joshua 1:9. She took his Bible and she highlighted that verse and wrote the date next to it. When our son was at boot camp, on our 25th wedding anniversary on August 13th, he wrote us a letter. In the middle of the letter, it said, "Cool story. So I become good friends with a kid named Brian in the rack next to mine. We were sitting together in church, and he was reading a letter from his mom. She said, 'Read the Bible verse Joshua 1:9. He didn't have a Bible, so I looked it up in mine and found the note Mom had written when she tagged that verse months ago. I thought that was interesting,' Josh wrote." Well, Donna thought that was very interesting too. And she had been trying to think of something small to give the boys for a graduation present from boot camp. She found an offer to get a dog tag, custom engraved, and I guess they had a deal if you got two. So she got one for him, and she got one for Brian. Well, we went to graduation, and it was awesome. The boys looked awesome. They sounded even better. It was just a very, very proud day for us as parents and for our entire family. Josh is our hero. After boot camp, the boys went their separate directions. They had separate contracts, and our son went to school infantry. He did awesome. He was in awesome shape. And eventually he was invited to go to California, to Camp Pendleton, to train with the Special Forces at recon. He was excited when he got out there. You can picture 18 years old, flying all the way from North Carolina to California, and seeing all the beautiful mountains in that area. Just everything is different. He was on an adventure. His birthday is January 19th. The next week, he was going to turn 19 on the 19th, his golden birthday. He said, "That's supposed to be the best year of your life, the golden birthday." Well, he said he's going to turn in early that day because he wanted to be able to have an awesome first day of training. And the next morning, Donna said she had a heavy feeling. I was just fired up about his adventure. But as evening approached, Donna waited anxiously to hear from Josh about his first day of training. But he didn't call. I said, they're probably, teasing the new guys, throwing their laundry in trash cans or something, and he's just busy. But Donna was anxious. The next day, very early, I got a strange call from the Marines. They told me, "Go home and wait for somebody to come talk to us." I figured they didn't want to come and talk to us about how awesome his first day was. My mind was racing about all the different possibilities. At this point, I was praying that God, that somehow he got in trouble and I was going to have to figure out how to get him out of the brig. But it was a very excruciating wait. Eventually, the Marines showed up at our door and said what every military family dreads to hear: "We regret to inform you that your son died." There's not a good explanation for it, rationally speaking. Our son was a lifeguard. He was an excellent athlete. He was in excellent condition. He was tough as nails. He had rescue swimmers, trained medics all around him, but he drowned on his first day. The initial reaction that you have is questions, anger, frustration. You want answers. There really weren't any good answers. But God answered us and said that from the moment God knit our son together in his mother's womb, God knew the number of days that he had for him. He knew the plans that he had for him. And what I do know, and what we do know, is God is faithful. He's given us life today with a purpose. We were inspired to create the Joshua 1:9 Foundation in our son's memory. And that's why we have the dog tags that we share now as a ministry of that foundation. We share them to encourage people, to share our testimony, to share the faith that has legs that you can live out, that really works. We wear the dog tags as a constant reminder that God has a plan. And so as we prepare for Lent and Easter, we rest on that hope that what God said is true. The greatest example of courage is the one that Jesus demonstrated. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2 that Christ became obedient, even death on the cross. Christ wasn't exempt from fear. He cried out to God in Matthew 26, God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, thy will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. So in his humanity, he had fear, but he was obedient, and that gave him the courage to do what no one else could do. And in case you had any doubt that the story of Christ's crucifixion was true, Paul testifies, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures. He appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom were still alive at the time Paul wrote that, though some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James and then to the apostles, and last of all, to Paul also. God doesn't expect us to believe in something that's sketchy, that somebody thought they might have seen him, some rumor. There were more than 500 eyewitnesses to the resurrection that we'll celebrate in 43 days. I don't believe that you can hear this message without God speaking something to your heart. If you've never trusted Christ to save you, that's simple. God's calling you to trust Him. We had the courage to obey. Maybe you've trusted Him long ago. God's calling you to serve in some special way. Maybe God's calling you to give. Maybe give forgiveness. I don't know what it is for you. I'm just here to testify that you don't want to wait and say, I'll do it next week real good. Because you don't know. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is the day. So I'm going to ask you to ask God, what is it, Lord? Are you really out there? Is this true? At least check it out. God, what is it that you really want me to do? ask Him, listen. Don't just ask once. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. God is faithful. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray in Jesus' name that everyone that hears this message would have the courage to call out to You and just seek, ask, listen, and obey. Father, I pray Your blessing on this congregation. And I give You thanks. You are faithful. You are good. Amen. Now, I want to finish by saying that one of my favorite preachers has a saying that I just love. He says, obey God and leave all the consequences to Him. You will never regret that decision. And so, as you get ready to leave, we have tables set up in the back. There's some magazines. It has some pictures of Josh. I've written an article about him. If you want to learn more about the foundation, we've also brought dog tags. A lot of them were given out last service. If we run out, contact us. We want to share them with you so that you can in turn share your story. And your story has now overlapped with our story. So part of our story goes with you, and that lifts us up. God's brought us together. And I pray that you will take that story and impact our community. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Wait a second. While ushers, would you come for to help us serve communion? Why they're coming, tell us briefly about the different colors of the dog tag, because that's important for people, I think.
All right, so originally we had a blue camouflage silencer on the Joshua 1-9 dog tag. And in honor of our youngest son and to bring awareness to children's cancer, we, in September, we produced a gold dog tag. Then in October, we did one with a pink camouflage silencer. We also have Jeremiah 29:11, God has plans for me, with a yellow silencer. And that is, we made it with the idea in mind for cancer survivors, although it's an awesome dog tag to wear for anyone. And we do have some red, white, and blue. We have military camo. But all of it, I can't tell you how many times people say, hey, what's that dog tag about? And I keep some handy and share them. And, you know, sometimes I'm able to share a little bit, sometimes a lot. But God is using it. We pray over every dog tag. And so I hope that you'll grab one and share it. And in doing so, share our story.
How many have you given out so far?
Well, I brought 1,200 today, and we were wondering if we were going to make it through.
The total.
Oh, total, we're coming up on 11,000. So we were able to bring those and share them at no cost because other people donated. If God puts it on your heart to donate so that we can share them with the next group, then you can leave your donation at the back.
Just place it on the table by there.
On the table. We don't have baskets per se.
Thank you, James.
Thank you, guys.
Pray with me. God, we give You thanks for this morning and for the power of Your presence among us. We give You thanks now for the sacrament of Holy Communion, as we remember Jesus saying, this is My body as He broke the bread, and this is My blood as He shared the cup. Pour out Your Spirit upon bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, to encourage and strengthen, forgive and cleanse and make us new as we receive in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. As they come, would you take the bread and the cup? You don't need to be a member of this church or any church, really. And if you'll hold that, and then at the end we'll all receive together. Thank you, James.
Be still, my soul.
Body of Christ, broken for you, take and feed on Him. And the blood of Jesus, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, take and drink, ye all. God, we give you thanks for this gift of Jesus the Christ, for His abundant grace, for His saving us and renewing us and filling us. Empower us now to go out and live as you would call us to live and to share as you call us to share. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now just let me remind you of a couple of things. The scouts will be out there. The sunlight, and this is for their tour. They'll be over here. They take orders or you can eat here. A wonderful soup meal. And the dog tags for Joshua 1:9 are on the back table. Would you stand and receive the benediction? And really, a lot of the Islam family will be back. They can answer your questions or talk to you. It's been a special time for us. And James will be in the back to greet as well. Would you receive the benediction? Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.
May God's word.